step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You had a little run-in with Discovery?
Can you tell us about the copyright controversy?
So they sent a cease and desist on behalf of Warner Discovery to stop selling the t-shirts. And if you don't, we'll sue you.
Welcome, MythFits.
Hey, MythFits, welcome to another episode. My name is Carrie Byron, and this is my...
Hi, I'm Tori Belleci. Carrie, what do you think? Look at my eye. It's getting way better.
I was just going to say my slightly beat-up friend, because your black eye is still there. It's looking a lot better, though. You're
feeling
nicely.
A lot better, and I'm not getting the strange looks anymore. It's healing up nicely. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for your concern.
You know what? I am in the throes of National STEM Festival right now.
Okay.
We're just
describe the throes. That sounds very complicated. The throes.
Oh, well, so
of
we
STEM.
Begin the National STEM Festival with like a challenge. This is basically a reboot of the White House Science Fair. I founded this a couple years ago, and it's just a big endeavor where we are finding a kid from every state and territory to bring to Washington, D.C. for like a giant science fair. But to choose those kids,
awesome.
We do a national challenge. And so we're just finishing the submission project.
Okay. What is the challenge?
So the challenge is it's everybody's like, you know, uploading their science fair projects. They have to come up with an innovation, invention, or research that makes the world a better place or has a positive impact on communities, people, your family, the world. And that's, you know, the theme. So there's just kids from all over the United States and territories that are working on their projects, are putting their projects in, and then we have them judged by STEM industry leaders. So, you know, like you might get feedback from an astronaut or get feedback from somebody who's like a CEO of AI, or like it's all being sort of like a big STEM community. But like these projects are freaking amazing. I have seen the most... These inventions are just mind-blowing. And these are like junior high and high school kids. So like there was one boy who was a winner from our first year who he had met another kid who didn't have an arm. And he couldn't afford a prosthetic. And because kids continue to grow, they, you know, can't keep buying prosthetics that will grow
right.
with the kid. Because it's,
Whoa.
You know, tens of thousands of dollars.
That's crazy. So, you never think about that, right? Because it's like a pair of shoes. You're growing out of your shoes every, you know, few months, you know, especially when you're young.
Right. So this kid decided, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I mean, I just, with empathy, he creates his invention, which is a 3D printable arm that he can just continue to make it work and fit. And he, you know, it moved and everything and like made it affordable. And like, just these kids are just, they make you have hope for the future because you see these little inventors that are like, I'm going to find that small problem right there and I'm going to solve it. And it's just, it is like such a wonderful project for me. It's a passion project. I love seeing this. And it just, all these kids keep telling me like MythBusters inspired me to try doing inventions and to try, all of our mottos being failure is always an option and just try it. And, you know, so they're just, I just see this whole generation of little inventors and innovators, and it just warms my heart.
Scrolling on Instagram or YouTube, it's like you see all these builders and you just can't help think, like, you wonder what they were like when Mythbusters was on. It was the only kind of show like that. But now you go on YouTube and there's so many channels where people are just dedicating the channel to building crazy inventions, whether, you know, they're practical or not. It's just fun to watch.
I love some of the like really wild builders that do crazy, crazy Mythbuster style things. And like, I think that's why the reason that we reached out to our guest today, he is a YouTube creator. He's an inventor and he was almost a Mythbuster. Do you remember the Mythbuster search where they were trying to find like the next Mythbusters?
Oh my God. It was like, why are you guys trying to bring back Mythbusters? Like, we had an amazing run. We had lightning in a bottle and now let it just have its legacy, like let it live on. But they were like, no, we're going to bring back Mythbusters. And we thought, does that mean you're going to bring us back? No, we're going to find new people so we don't have to pay them so much.
But in doing so, they kind of like put onto the scene like a dozen really interesting people that like, yeah. like, you know, could have been Mythbusters if they had started from scratch with maybe another name property. Like, so today we're going to talk to Alan Pan. He was one of the creators on the search and he's got his own YouTube channel now where, I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a viral video that he created legs for a snake. Have you seen, let's play this video.
That's so cool. That's so cool. The snake's like, what is going on right now?
Okay, so basically a snake crawls into a tube that has little robot legs so that it can walk. And I swear the snake looks really confused. He's like, I don't understand. I'm levitating above the ground.
But he looks stoked.
Turns a snake into a lizard.
But he looks stoked. Like he's not leaving the tube. He's literally just checking out the shop as it's moving. He's not freaked out. He's not trying to get away. He's like, wow, this is easy.
What is this weird ride I'm on?
Oh, but I, so this awesome.
This is one of the things that had me watching this guy's YouTube channel because it's so weird.
Dude, he's got some crazy videos and he's made some like insane stuff that even makes me scared to watch him work on these things and test them. Anyway, you guys got to stick around. This guy is hilarious. He's insane.
And if he makes Tori afraid, you know he's got some good stories. All right, stick around for Alan Pan. Today we are joined by Alan Pan. He is a YouTube creator. He is an inventor. He's an innovator and an engineer. And if that sounds like a Mythbuster, he kind of almost was. So.
Whoa.
Yeah,
what am I doing here? Wow.
Welcome, dude. It's so nice to see you.
This is actually crazy. This is actually completely insane for me. Thank you for allowing me to be here. This is actually nuts.
Why is this nuts?
Well, I don't know if you guys realize that you were like a cultural institution for like 14 years. and like I was actively trying to like steal your jobs. and now I'm here talking to you guys. So it's kind of like, it's kind of crazy.
That's awesome. So you're saying the show influenced you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when like I was in high school and I was trying to like figure out like what, like I want to be. I didn't really want to be an engineer. I kind of just want to be like you guys, which was like at the time completely ridiculous. And then I sort of somehow kind of ended up doing that. So it worked out pretty well.
Okay, I think we need to explain this to the audience just in case they don't know. But there was a show called The Search, and they were looking for the new Mythbusters.
Yeah, they needed scabs. They needed cheaper scabs, and they
we
also
got too expensive.
Specifically, it was going to be Search for the Next Mythbusters, but then someone figured out that if they said Mythbusters The Search, then anyone who was TiVoing Mythbusters would automatically record the new show on accident. And so that was sort of like, that was, I think, the entire game plan, like the spirit of the thing was like, how can we trick people into watching this instead of trying to make it good?
They hacked everybody's DVRs.
Yeah. How did you guys feel about that? The whole thing about like it, because it was completely on the face. Like there was no excuse. It was just like, yeah, everyone's too expensive now, but the IP has value. Like we want to keep it going. Like there was absolutely no other reason for it to exist and everyone knew it.
I love that you know that.
That was like the crazy part.
You had no preconception of like, I'm going to be another Mythbuster. You're like, They're just abusing this IP.
Yes. I mean, cause I think that was the thing. It was like crazy because like nobody, I think, had like any illusions about what was happening. But also the chance to be anything close to a Mythbuster was like so enticing. It didn't matter. So it was almost like we were all just like marching towards like this inevitable awful. It was like at best you win this thing and then what, everyone hates you. But like it didn't even matter.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So Tori, honestly, like when you heard of this project, what was your thought?
Well, we each got a call from the executive producer at the time, and he was like, "Hey, we just wanted to, you know, see how you would feel about we're going to revive Mythbusters." And it was kind of like you let us go. Like you fired us from Mythbusters. Like, why are you asking for our permission or our blessing? Like, we're literally so far removed from this. Like, do whatever you want. We don't care. It was just such a weird call. It was like, so wait, are you calling to like bring us back? No. So why even call us? Just to rub it in?
I gotta be honest. At first, I was a little pissed because I was like, hey, we're still available.
I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad to finally hear from this. Because it's like up until now, it's always just been speculation of like, oh, I wonder what everyone thought of this whole thing happening. Because you guys, you weren't even on like the last season of Mythbusters, right? Like they're like, we need to trim anything and everything, and it started with you guys and then it went to us.
Oh my God, it's so sad but true.
And then I think a couple years later it was literally children, like they went down the totem pole all the way down to kids. And I think the next one's gonna be Mythbusters animals.
Yeah. Mythbusters animals.
It's gonna be trained dogs.
Oh man, it's so true. They have been trying to revamp that brand forever. We even did Motor Mythbusters on Motor Trend, and you know, we only got one season on that. So it was like they were like so desperate to get it going again. It was just like
they're like, wait a minute, we have this great idea and it worked for a decade. We should definitely change it and keep the same title. But you know what? Here's the thing is you guys, all of the guys who were on the search, like I would say most of you were more qualified to be Mythbusters than we were. Totally.
Well, that's almost like the problem with it, right? Is like it was lightning in a bottle. I mean, that's such a cliche, right? But like every single like TV show pitch now, whenever it's like some kind of new educational, non-scripted, whatever, like the reference point is always like Mythbusters. Like, what if Mythbusters meets X? What if Mythbusters but this?
Right.
And it's like it's just never going to happen again. I think like part of that is because like you guys weren't like scientists or engineers, but like you kind of approached it from this way that made it entertaining and completely like understandable. Whereas like, yeah, like a bunch of the people on the search, they were like actual engineers and actual like PhDs. And it was just like was worse. Like it's almost like the more qualified on paper someone was for whatever this job was, like it just didn't work. Like it just, you can't, if it was that easy, you'd like just stick a bunch of these things that you think are going to work together and it works, then like everyone would do it, right?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch the show.
No, that would be so embarrassing. I would be mortified.
I didn't watch it because I was just like, just bitter enough that I was like, nah. But like, I've I'm fans of all you guys separately on your own. Like I follow Tracy Fenara and Hammer Robinson, and I follow your show, and like I follow everybody because I think everybody there is awesome. Can you explain to our audience how the search worked in case they didn't see it?
Oh,
and then like
right.
Catch me up just like a little bit, because I only knew from behind the scenes, because a lot of our producers and researchers, like they worked on it.
Yes.
So they'd call me up and be like, oh my God, check out this drama.
I forget. We need context. We have zero context for this.
Yes, help me out.
Mythbusters, like all of you guys were done because of whatever reasons we can speculate on. I think it was cost. And the property itself, like the Mythbusters, like trademark name property, still had value. They were like, we could probably just slap some new people in this thing, and it'll work the same way, right? Totally. And so they decided to run this competition reality show. So it's like Discovery Channel meets, I don't know, Survivor. And so they got, I think, like 10 of us, and it was an open application. So it was like anyone could just send in a video application of like why they wanted and deserve to be like the next Mythbusters. The only people that can accept this sort of a gig, because it's like, we need you to be available for 3 months potentially and not do anything else and not have any other contractual obligations. Like, you're only going to get insane people. So it was like 10 like of the most insane people you've ever seen. And they stuck us all into like this little hotel in Marin County. And just like every single week, they had us do like challenges that were based off of like the previous myths that you guys had done like on right. the series. And there was no point system or anything. Arbitrarily, every week, they'd just be like, all right, you go. And now you go. And you. There was like no score and there was no audience vote.
They're like, so it was like, I don't think you're very good on camera. You're out.
Exactly. It was just like you know, this invisible board of directors. We always imagine just like people with clipboards, like taking notes. And then like really early on, we figured out that whoever the cameras were pointed at was like who was going to be eliminated that week. So, once they figured that out, like, they started like,
get those cameras away from me.
We were literally like, you're pointing a gun at me right now. Get that thing away from me. And so they started like randomizing it. But like ultimately, two of the guys won. It was Brian Loudon and John Long. They're great. But obviously, like, they got one season of a reboot of Mythbusters. And I don't think the full first season never even actually aired. I think the last three episodes they just like sent to streaming directly because so poorly received.
I'm a little floored right now. This whole thing, it's like I am hearing the best gossip in hindsight.
I'm just used to it because it was like living it. We learned after the fact that the production, which was a ton of like people that you guys have worked with and knew. I mean, it was like Steve Christensen was directing us and Heapy was filming us. And Tori Fink was helping us build.
All our friends.
Yes. It was like literally all these people. The world is like so tiny and small. Like there were so many people there that like worked with you guys. And they had apparently, we never saw it, but like in the back production room, they had like a group picture of all of us. And every time someone got eliminated, they'd just put an X through our face. And they would like,
are you serious?
That's what I heard. That's what
I
heard.
Oh my God. That
and they
is
were like,
so
they, like every week it was like a Deadpool, you know, of like, all right, who's getting it this
God,
week?
That is funny.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Oh, man. Well, because you've turned out to be like a really popular, creative, amazing YouTube inventor. Like,
oh my
your
God,
videos
stop.
Are
Thank
insane.
You.
That
yeah, totally.
Makes me feel so happy.
Coolest stuff.
You went so viral for giving a snake legs. I think that was the first one I saw where I was like, this dude's crazy. Like, it's you created a tube that a snake crawls into and then has robot legs to walk. And I just like that came up on my feed like 100 times as a suggestion to see you. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's like really crazy to look back on because like when Mythbusters started, it was what, like 2003, like the first
yeah.
season. Mm-hmm. So that beats YouTube by like 2 years. I think the first YouTube video like, you know, at the zoo or whatever, I think that was like 2005. So it's like. Mythbusters as like a concept happened way before YouTube even existed, but then like that sort of like style, that sort of idea like inspired a bunch of people to then like film themselves doing like these wacky sort of build and testing ideas. And like it would, I think you could argue that it's like almost entirely that first wave of people who are building stuff on YouTube probably were like, had you guys in mind when they were doing that. I mean, I know I did.
Interesting.
And so it's like all of that stuff, like, you know, giving a snake legs, it's almost just
reverse evolution.
Yeah. It's the like the extension of the show, basically, like the same concept of like, you know, what is this myth? What is this urban legend? And, you know, is it true? Then you just kind of like, it's one step further to be like, well, snakes used to have legs. What if they had legs again? It's not really a myth, but it's like one, it's like adjacent to a myth. It's myth
That's
adjacent.
So funny.
I mean, what about for you guys? What is like, what is your weirdest and favorite thing? Do you get that a lot on this podcast? I feel like there's a lot of questions that probably get bounced back.
I mean, I always like doing stuff that like the three of us were collaborating on one project rather than being kind of split off. Because I always thought it was the most fun when we were like together. So like I loved when we did a MacGyver myth and we made an ultralight airplane out of duct tape.
Oh, like, bamboo. Yep.
Or, yeah, duct tape, bamboo. We put the whole thing together. It was huge. It took so much of the shot, but it was like there was a lot of camaraderie on that. And by the time we got it out to the cliff edge where we were going to try to fly this thing, like I felt like at least Grant and I were pretty sure it was going to fly. Tori, were you convinced?
You just gaslit yourselves into thinking like this has got a chance.
No, so Grant was so sure that it was going to fly that he told the producer, all right, so what I'm going to do is just bank it left and just keep it going in a circle until it runs out of gas and then crashes into the quarry lake because we don't want it flying over towards the highway. And we all peed our pants because we're like, there is no way this thing is getting off the ground.
I mean, when we were first taking off the truck, I'm like, there might be a shot. And like Grant's the engineer among us, and he was pretty convinced. And I'm like, yeah, well, maybe we got a shot at this. Like, this is exciting. I thought it would at least get like a little bit before it just went straight down. But then it went straight down with, you know, the reality, the gravity of reality and the gravity. And it was like one of those moments where like I looked at Grant looked at me, and it was sort of like, yeah, that was always going to happen.
That is hilarious. That is like, that is so delusional that like there was even
totally
like a hope that that was going to work.
I'm going to bank it left. I'm just going to keep flying it in a circle. Oh, are you? Oh, is that what's going to happen?
There were so many times where there was something like, that'll never work. And then it worked. Then,
yeah.
Like, you know, I was always unsure. I'm like, if I call this, I'm definitely going to be wrong. But if I call this wrong, like it's definitely going to work.
What is the like most disappointing myth? What's the most disappointing myth result that you guys have ever had? God. Like in terms of like either hoping that it would go one way and it didn't, or like thinking that it was going to like be impressive and then it just is not.
I would say the cement truck. The myth was a guy had a cement truck. It's load set up. So he went in and tried to jackhammer it. It wasn't working. So he used dynamite to blow it out and exploded the truck. And so we were like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is so us. So we found an old cement truck, filled it with concrete, tried jackhammering. It took forever. We're like, okay, let's stick dynamite in it. And we stuck like, you know, a stick of dynamite and they set it off. And it was just like, doink. Like nothing happened. And so we got up to like 10 sticks of dynamite and it still was just like, doink, inside the barrel. And so it was so anticlimactic and we're like, this show is gonna suck. How do we end this? And then somebody had the idea. They're like, what if we just filled the whole barrel with high explosives? And the producers were like, that's it. And that's where the explosions began on Mythbusters.
You're telling me that that wasn't planned from the beginning?
No.
I assumed that would have been like the natural escalation would have been like, okay, we're going to try this and then it's not going to work. And then we're going to do this. And then we get to fill the hole. Like that was not like
that was
from
not
the beginning,
in the plans.
Idea.
No.
What? It became a very defining solution maker for us because like now we know like we can do that. And Linda Wolkovich, our producer, like, found, you know, FBI agent that would, you know, pull off the explosives and found a quarry to do it in. And like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this can be a reality. We can do this every time if a myth starts to suck.
We can, when in doubt, blow shit up.
Watching a cement mixer with just a little smoke fart, just a little poof, like no matter how much we put in there. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, this was the evolution.
that moment, that's like, that was like a definitely like, I don't know, inflection point or like that, the scene where the cement truck just like disappears. It's like, you know, Mythbusters history. And then that also, I think, is sort of like you said, it's sort of the start of when you guys started like going into that kind of almost like meme of an idea now, is like the Mythbusters like explode stuff.
Right.
I don't know why I just assumed that was a more like contrived thing. It makes me very happy and surprised that that was totally organic. And it makes me a little disappointed in myself because I plan a lot of stuff in my videos that probably seem organic, but are like totally like in the plan.
I'm going to be, you know, that show was way more, I mean, it was beginning of reality television when we thought it still had to be real. So like the cutting room floor was filled with hours and hours and hours of us trying to make something happen and go the way that we'd like it to go. But like, we weren't gonna fake the science and we were gonna just do this for real and like trying to get honest reactions. So, you know, we were trying to have a small camera always looking at us so that we could get our real reactions because, we didn't know what was gonna happen or what it was gonna feel like for an explosion. So like, I know that when people watch Mythbusters now, they probably don't realize how real it actually was, except for the blueprint room, which was horribly staged. But yeah, Everything that was out in the field, like that was blood, sweat, tears, and dirt.
Like if Mythbusters was like today, I mean, I think it'd be crazy different, right? Like what would you guys do differently if you were doing the show like now?
I would get rid of blueprint altogether. I thought our story, I would make it as real as possible because I think that currently I feel like I have a thirst for authenticity. Yeah. In a way that like I AI slop has just kind of made my skin crawl to the point where I just want to see real. So I would make it as authentic as possible, like more of the journey. And one of the things that started to happen on like Discovery Channel shows is like they and even in Mythbusters is they started to cut down on the build and just like do a lot of recaps of the story because it was like they had to make sure people kept coming back from commercial breaks. And I hated that. I was like, most of the story right now, you're retelling what we did 5 seconds ago. And it was filling it. Like, I would just let it go.
Aren't they kind of doing that on YouTube? I feel like I've seen like Discovery Channel, like official YouTube clips of Mythbusters episodes that are sort of like more like condensed. I feel like they're kind of milking that. You guys don't get any part of that, do you?
No, we don't.
If they get like YouTube ad revenue, you don't get like a single piece of that.
No.
Speaking of,
yeah, I want to talk. This is what I wanted to talk about.
This is what we want to talk about with you.
You had a little run-in with Discovery.
Can
you
tell
us about the copyright controversy?
Yeah,
I thought that was freaking hilarious.
I also thought it was probably the funniest thing I've ever done. Some people disagree, but. I kind of thought that might happen. This is not actually one of the, this is a legal shirt because it says Myth Busted. Doesn't say
right.
Myth Busters.
Yep.
That's okay.
Yeah, we're Myth Fits. We get it.
Exactly. I was looking into like merch one day. It was like years ago. I don't even remember like how I kind of like went into it, but like I started looking at trademarks for like different brands to see like, oh, what do these filings look like? And so on the USPTO website, you can search for anything that's been trademarked and see the status of it. And for whatever reason, I saw that Mythbusters was expired, and it was specifically the trademark for apparel. So it's like use on shirts and like clothing and whatever. So it's like, it's actually very narrow. A lot of people like kind of misunderstand what it was that I bought. It's just to use the word Mythbusters on apparel. It wasn't like for the show or anything. But like, I think that when the Warner Discovery merger was happening, like some like legal cog kind of fell out of place because it's an it's an easy thing to renew a trademark. You have to do it annually. And even then, they give you a grace period of like years. I think it's like 3 years where you can still re-up it.
Wow.
And they just never did. And so then once I like noticed that, I like bought it. And the whole time I was like, there's no way that I can just do this, right? Like, there's no way it's just this easy, right? And I was like putting in my credit card info. I was like, this isn't going to work, right? And then it's like $200 and it just went through. I was like, oh, I guess I have Mythbusters now. Like,
oh, my
I
God.
Can
that's
put
hilarious.
It on shirts. I mean, it was kind of like I was almost just kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop because it was like very funny. I did like a merch push in a video where it's like, yeah, like now I can sell Mythbusters shirts because I was sort of like, It was this whole thing where I was mad at CNN for using some clips from my videos without permission. It turned out they had the same parent company. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I get to have revenge.
That's funny.
And so like 9 months later, I got a cease and desist in the mail, or at least the merch company I was working with got the cease and desist in the mail. But it wasn't for the Mythbusters shirts because they couldn't send a cease and desist for that because I like had applied for the trademark. Like I was able to sell the shirts. They right. sent a cease and desist for a different shirt that I was selling, which was it was a shirt that said, but it looked like CNN, like it used that font. So they sent a cease and desist on behalf of Warner Discovery to stop selling the t-shirts, which is, you know, I think is parody, but whatever. And then they also sort of like with that sent the threat of like, also, can you please like abandon the trademark and like stop selling stuff on your website? And like, if you don't, we'll sue you. Was sort of like the implied threat, whereas like, wow. you know, we'll seek further action or whatever. And so like I talked to a lawyer and basically they're like, yeah, like they probably, it's like kind of a gray area. Like you probably could fight it, but there is like a very real possibility that you would lose. And then there's also like a possibility that you'd be like on the hook for like their legal fees if they go after that sort of thing. And he was like, for a legal team like that, you could actually hit like $1 million. Like you could actually be in the hole. Like if you go all the way through this
right.
to the very end and you lose and they go after like everything they possibly can, you could actually like end up owing them like $2 million.
Wait, $2 million?
Well, then he was like outside chance, worst case scenario, but like this is like a possibility. Depending on sort of like, you know, how long it drags out and sort of like what they sort of like the resources they bring into it. And so basically I was like, okay, I'm not going to fight it then, whatever. I responded. I asked for like a window of time for like 2 months. I was like, can I have 60 days to just finish selling out my stock? And then like, you know, I'll give you everything back. And so once I posted a video about that, I sold out of everything in like the next like 24 hours. Like, it was
yes,
just gone.
Got him.
That entire like experience I thought was just the funniest thing ever. I didn't really end up making any money from it because the merch company that was selling my stuff, like they went bankrupt. That's like a whole nother story. So I didn't really make money off of it. But the thing that I do feel bad about was I didn't hear about this until way later. I guess people like conflated Mythbusters with Adam. Like they just assumed like, oh, like if Mythbusters and like Warner Discovery, they're like sending him this like threatening letter, like Adam must somehow be involved and like he's the one who's like doing, like, you know, like people just like they don't understand these things. They just see what's on TV and they're like, oh, these are the same thing. And so like I didn't know that people were like sending mean comments to Adam Savage and Tested. Oh, and like I even heard that like some people like canceled their Tested subscriptions over this.
Oh my god.
We're like, I never intended for that. I never asked anyone to do that. So I want to make it very clear right now that was never my intent. I never ever wanted that to happen. I never told people to do that. And once I heard about it like after the fact, I was like, man, I wish I knew about that earlier so that I could also tell people like, hey, don't do that. Like that's super dumb.
So in the end, did you just abandon the trademark or did you sell it back to them?
I abandoned it. I straight up abandoned it. I didn't try and like sell it back. I wanted the whole thing to be done. And I got rid of like all the merch.
Hey, but you got the bragging rights.
I got the bragging rights. And I got to have a really awkward conversation with Adam Savage a couple years later. It wasn't even a conversation. I was at his cave during Open Sauce, this really cool like event that we throw. And I walked up to him, I just said, Adam, I'm so sorry. And he said, let's not even talk about it. And then he hugged me. I think those are all the words I've ever said to him in like the last 3 years.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
That's so funny. I was always very curious of that because before I found out that you had sold it, I was like, oh, dude, that guy owns the, maybe we should go try to buy it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should buy it from him. Let's see if maybe he wants to sell it to us.
I will say the last time I checked, I'm pretty sure the trademark for Discovery Channel for apparel is also dead. I'm pretty sure that one is actually expired. I think if you wanted to, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you're just going to set yourself up for like a big fight later.
Right.
But like, I'm pretty sure right now,
nobody
at least
needs
as
that
of, like,
headache.
Yeah. As of like a year ago, I think if you go into USPTO, you could probably just buy the trademark for the Discovery Channel. Mm-hmm. I think that one was dead the last time I checked.
Oh, and then we could sell it back to them for a small profit. Be like, residuals, bitch.
Or just sell, yeah, just sell the merch. Just sell the shirts that say the Discovery Channel on them. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but someone will buy it.
In this crazy world of what we do, what really makes sense? That's awesome.
So, Alan, what are you working on now? What can people go see? What are you like most excited about on your channel right now?
Well, hopefully very soon I'll have a video published about building a laser razor, like a laser shaving razor.
I feel like somebody just sounds like needs it's gonna to go step bad. In and stop that, dude. Do you have a person that, you know, like, is just like, hey, don't jump off that building? Like, who do you have a person that stops you? Or are you
no.
just completely self-produced and you are your own safety officer?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, it probably should not be that way. The regular trajectory for YouTubers is to sort of, like, get more and more sort of, like, formal and organized. And, like, you know, at a certain point, like, big YouTuber like you know, Mr. Beast or Mark Rober, like, they essentially have, like, TV productions. But, like, there's also a way to do YouTube where you just never scale and you just are a guy in a garage. And then no one ever tells you no, but then no one ever, like, tells you that chainsaw-proof clothes don't work on electric chainsaws.
Oh, dude, that's so scary.
All right, Alan. Well, if you laser your face off, we can use this in the GoFundMe for your medical bills.
Yes,
we'll help you out there.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can go find you.
If you go to YouTube and you look up Alan Pan, also, I guess anywhere else, you can also probably look up Alan Pan. I'm probably there. I should also be on a new streaming platform called Sauce Plus now, I think.
Go find Alan Pan on YouTube and all the socials. He is probably more of a Mythbuster than Tori and I ever were.
No,
thank you so
no,
much
not
for
true.
All the dirt. I loved hearing that story because I really, you know, I haven't heard the background details like that before. So it
yeah.
cleared a lot of stuff up for me. Hilarious, and
awesome.
I'm glad that we can be friends now.
Yeah, and go check out his YouTube channel because some of the stuff, like your stuff, is so insane, and I love it. And be careful. That's all I gotta say.
Thank but
you
stay
guys
weird.
So much. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back, MythBits. I hope you guys had fun with that. That was...
Oh, my God. He is so funny. I love how self-aware he is. Like, he just... He knew that no matter who won on MythBusters, the search, they were going to lose. Like, they know, you know, it was like the fans were going to rebel against or just, you know, hate the show.
They rebelled against us when we came on and became hosts.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's people don't like change very much. So it makes sense.
That's so true. Cause I remember the chat, this is way back on the internet days where there was a chat board. MythBusters had, there was like a fan club and they had a chat board. And we would read the comments and it was like, oh, stop reading the comments. They hate us. Like, they literally hate the build team. They just want Jamie and Adam. Get them out of here. And it wasn't until I think we went to Dragon Con one year and I was like nervous to go out on stage and everybody was like cheering. It was like,
oh,
they don't hate
us
anymore. Wow. Okay.
Well, I remember like we would have these, you know, we would go do talks at conventions and colleges and, you know, anytime Discovery or one of the other networks tried to create a MythBuster style show. Like I remember they tried making something called Smash Lab, which there was like two guys
yeah.
and a girl, and they were engineers and they were doing crashes. And immediately the first question people started asking me was like basically like, oh, that bitch tried to copy you. Like how do you
yeah.
feel about that female host doing this? And I remember just being like, what? Why is there a competition? Like, I think it's awesome that she's doing this. Like, we need more female hosts. I don't feel competition here. Like, why can't there be space for all of us to do this kind of thing?
No, it's true. When Mythbusters started getting really popular, all of a sudden there was all these copycat shows. And it was just funny to watch because, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, look, they're trying to do what we are doing, but it's not the same.
Probably because they were trying to cast it, whereas like we were just kind of a happy accident. I do remember watching The Search and being sort of like, damn it. I know exactly where they could find the hosts of the new Mythbusters. We're right here.
That, oh, my gosh.
Nobody's like, ever seriously? Asked us about that before. Like when we've been out on talks, nobody's talked to us about The Search. So I feel like this is the first time we're like publicly addressing this.
This is the other thing that bugged me was because we had just done White Rabbit Project.
Yeah.
So the same production company that did Mythbusters approached Cary Grant and myself to do a show called White. We named it White Rabbit Project. It was on Netflix. It was it was one of my favorite shows. Like we did so much fun stuff on it, but they wanted it to be like Mythbusters, but it couldn't be too close to Mythbusters. So that's what we produced. And so while they were looking for a location to film, I suggested that they film up in San Rafael at the old Industrial Light and Magic studio. So they have this big soundstage, they have a shop, they have offices. It would have been perfect. Plus, you and I were still living in San Francisco, so it would have been a half hour commute. It made sense. And we all knew, like, the crews were all local to San Francisco. It was going to be like a reunion of Mythbusters, but we're doing this other show. And they're like, no, we got to find a location in LA. We're going to do this in LA. And so we're like, okay, fine. So we ended up, they rented out this huge warehouse and we started filming, and it was awesome. But like within the first day of filming, every 20 minutes, a train would go by. Do you remember this?
It was the worst location ever. It was like near a freeway underpass. There was like a garbage facility nearby. There was trains. There was like, it was right underneath the airspace for the airport. Like, it was the noisiest place ever.
But every 20 minutes, you would have to stop because a train would go by. And it was like, how did you guys pick this spot? And they're like, well, the realtor, they were really trying to get us in and out as quickly as possible. I'm like, they got one over on you. Like, now every 20 minutes, we have to take a minute to let the train pass for sound. Awesome.
And you and I had to commute to LA. And I had a little kid at home too. So it was,
I don't know how that production did it.
I hated leaving my daughter during the week to go film the show. So I was already sort of like, oh, I'm living in a hotel and my baby's up there and this sucks. And like, I remember I was like, sure, I'll do the White Rabbit Project, but I'm like, only if you guys are filming up here. They're like, oh yeah. We're going to film up here. I'm like, okay, I'll sign on. And they're like, well, we made best efforts. And then they took your location and gave it to The Search.
That, I know. It was like, wait a minute. I thought, like, why did you do that show at the spot that I told you about and you didn't do our show? Like, it was so, I don't know. It just felt like, it was so annoying, but whatever.
Nobody wants to hear our sour grapes. Alan's funny. That was a fun guest to talk to because I've always wanted to know some of those things and I've never asked.
That guy is crazy. Like, to the point of I watch his videos and I get nervous for him.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
Should we take a fan question?
All right, looks like we have a video question from Willow.
Okay, what is going on here?
Working as a cleaner can be pretty unglamorous work, to be honest. You know, the glitz and glamour of being on television is particularly appealing when you're face in the toilet trying to clean it. So my question is, what is the least glamorous thing about being a TV personality? What was the part of Mythbusters that made you guys go, oh, God, not this again?
That is such a great video question. Very creative.
I mean, Mythbusters was not glamorous at all. I mean, yeah. I think that the least glamorous thing is the fact that we didn't have like trailers and stuff when we go to sets in really hot remote places. And for years and years and years, we didn't even have like a porta potty on set. So you either have to get in a van and travel to find a bathroom, or all the guys would just like go behind a rock. I remember just trying to find a place to go to the bathroom when we'd be like in a forest, at a quarry, in a desert. It was just always like it was very not glamorous to have to find a place to cop and squat.
I prefer not having a porta potty though, because the porta potties out in those deserts that would get so hot, it was like disgusting. There were little mini vacations when it was like, oh, we're taking a bathroom run up to the, you know, some building that, who wants to go? And it was like, yes, get me out of the heat, get me out of this dust. I just need a little break. So when they started bringing the porta potties, it got even less glamorous.
Well, but at the same time, like for the privacy factor, like you guys could, you had a much easier way of going to the bathroom, whereas like I had my whole ass out. So I'm doing this over in the forest.
Good point.
And somebody comes stumbling out of the woods. I am completely exposed. I just remember it was always sort of a thing. And so I liked when they brought the porta potties because I was just like, okay, now I can at least hide my butt.
Still gross.
I mean, what else was not glamorous for you?
The other thing that wasn't super glamorous were the hotels, because we would always be in these remote locations when we were setting off explosions. So, you know, we'd be out in the middle of nowhere. And so the hotel options were slim. And so it was usually like a sketchy hotel or a motel. So that was not glamorous.
Yeah. You know, it's not like we had like makeup and brakes and cooler trailers. So I just remember we get really gritty. You'd put on your sunscreen and you'd go out to location somewhat fresh. And then sooner or later, you'd be covered in soot and welding smoke and dust and dirt and wind. And then it would all stick to the sunscreen. And then you'd have to put another layer of sunscreen on. And you just, by the time you got home, you could take a spatula to the nest that was like kind of covering you.
Yeah.
At all time.
And then you'd sweat and all that stuff would get into your eyes and burn. Yeah. It was like, oh, it was a bad combo. You know what? I just saw Lauren Williams. She was an old director producer on Mythbusters. And she was one of the best producers, because whenever we would go to a remote location, she wouldn't make us stay in that town. We would always drive to a nicer town to stay in. And we were just laughing. We have to get her on the show because she's got so many great stories. We'll have to get her on.
Yeah, I love her. She's one of my favorites. So there was lots of not glamorous things. I think an easier question would be like, what was a glamorous part of being right. Mythbuster?
It'd be shorter.
Nothing.
Totally. Thank you so much for the question, Willow. Please keep those video questions coming in. We love them. And that way we can get you guys on the podcast.
Also, like, follow, subscribe, tell all your friends so that we can keep on doing this. Keep coming back every week, y'all Mythbits. We love to hang out with you.
Yes, we do.
Stay weird.
Stay weird.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.